On this episode of The Fetish Show, Princess Zoe and I have a full hour with BDSM group pioneer, professional dominatrix, author, and erotic hypnotist, the legendary Nancy Ava Miller. And that's coming up next.
The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I am joined, as always, by the perspicacious Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing great. Exactly what does that word mean? Something good.
It means you have keen insight.
Wow. Well, thank you, Mr. Webster.
How about that?
That's awesome. How are you doing?
Dig that.
I'm digging it.
Well, I'm doing great. As a matter of fact, I've been working out lately, and if I get much stronger, I think I'm going to join the Justice League.
Really?
Yes.
So you really like Captain Obvious? Or
Captain Obvious?
Captain Bedpot Chamberlain.
I'm going to be podcast man. With all the powers of a podcast.
I love it. Wow. We have to find you
and
some.
Strength. Lots of strength. I'm ready. I tell you what, I feel like I'm ready to run through walls or something.
You look like it. You look like you've been running through fucking walls.
I don't know if that's, I don't know how, if I'm really strong or if I'm, it's just
you're
all
not,
in my
you're
mind.
You're just crazy. You're just fucking crazy.
It just feels stronger. So anyway, there you go.
Congratulations on your new, been improved.
Thank you. So I'm going to be leaping tall buildings soon.
I'm getting the fuck out of the way.
In a single bound.
I am definitely getting out of the way.
We're going to do kind of a truncated intro here because we've got quite an interview coming up. But first, what I want to do is mention that Princess Zoe has an event coming up on April 20th in Dallas, Texas, and it's called Foot Night. You want to talk about that for a second?
No, not at all. Go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Just want to see, like, what? Look on your face, like, what? Like,
you don't want to. I've just never heard you say I've never heard you say you don't want to talk.
Well, you're the one that does all the fucking talking. I just babble occasionally. No, I believe we mentioned last time, but you can find on the website at footnight.com, and they have events, parties in different cities throughout the United States. Excuse me. They have people that sign up to come to these events, and these gentlemen who are interested in feet get to see the models there. That they have the models listed online for each event,
right?
And you can maybe pick early, and so you come, and I think you can have more than one model per night. You can have maybe two or three come and step on you, walk on you.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Some, I think so.
Like trampling and stuff.
I think you can kind of, it's open.
That sort of
like
thing?
I think so, yeah.
They've got a lot of models out on this
thing. They have some really pretty girls on there. Of course, the guys about the feet, they don't care about that. They just like them.
They
feet.
Really don't, do they?
They want the feet, baby.
They want to know that you're hot, but they're not really concerned about it. After they acknowledge, yes, she's hot, now on to the feet.
Show me the feet. So I'm hoping to, you know, meet some new people and make some good connections, do a few other things while I'm down there.
Right.
So,
of course.
Come on out.
Naturally.
Oh, yes. There's always something shaking down in Dallas.
Certainly. Yeah, we like Dallas.
We do. We like Leather Masters in Dallas. I think they like us a little bit, too. Bought some stuff when I was there.
Yeah, you went and bought, what, about $100,000 worth of stuff down there again?
I bought two items, so that was No, it's what it takes, though. That is what it takes. It's just expensive stuff. Leather's expensive.
It is, but it's good stuff there, though.
It looks good on me, too.
We have a friend who went down there and picked up some stuff, too. He was showing off all his leather stuff that he bought down there. Sort of like a chest harness or something.
He's a pup.
Something else, and he was totally into it and was very proud of his stuff from Leather Masters.
Yes, he damn sure was.
Yes, he was.
And that friend would be Dustin.
Right.
In case
we've mentioned on here before.
Well, he's kind of like the Fetish Show helper outer.
Right. Anyway, right.
Yeah. And I, you know what? He was supposed to take my hair back and he did not do it. He was supposed to take my hair back to Dallas and exchange it for some different hair. I was going to beat his ass. Never mind. Just scratch that. Just pretend like you don't know what that means because you don't. I know.
I don't. I'm not really up on hair. If you look at some of my pictures, you'll see what I'm talking about. All right. The next thing I want to mention is that we are trying to get a little bit more, well, both of us now are trying to get a little bit more involved in getting on Twitter and keeping everyone up on what we're doing. We're going to tweet out. We're also, you know, answering stuff and that sort of thing. I've been doing it for a long time, actually. I put out tweets all the time on particularly like, you know, fetish show news type stuff and events and things that are happening. And if you're interested in that sort of thing and you want to get that information in 140 characters, then please join me at Dirk Hooper, D-I-R-K-H-O-O-P-E-R. And Zoe's got one too, of course. And she is at The Princess Zoe. So hook up with us on there and please follow us because we're going to give you some information and keep you up on what's going
on. Well, Dirk will give you information. I just say stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Random comments.
Zoe's going to complain that it's cold or that she's hungry.
It's fucking cold. I'm not going to. No, I'm not. It was fucking snowing. Okay. Shut up. I just wanted everyone to know it was fucking cold in Kansas City. Anyway, whatever.
She got several responses from that, too. People that wanted to help warm her up, I believe.
That's so sweet. Where the fuck were they then?
I know. Well, I know.
You got help. I mean, you had, like, worn, like, buying you shirts and
that's
pizzas
true.
And shit, you know. Yep. I would freeze my ass off.
That's the way it should be.
It is. That, anyway.
All right. Well, up next is our interview with Nancy Ava Miller.
And what an interview it is.
It is a tour de force. It's actually, to be honest with you, this is, well, I think I'll tell my story about I didn't tell during the interview, after the interview, so I can tell you a little bit about what Nancy Ava Miller means to me.
Oh, okay.
But she was a very gracious guest, hung out with us, was really cool. We ended up going out to eat with her afterwards and stuff, and
And apparently she likes a disco, the YMCA. It's not bad. She had your ass up there doing the, yes, and everyone else in the Joe's there doing the slash, fucking YMCA song. So, and I was doing everything for her too. She's like, okay, y'all, please request a song. She wants to hear it. So they're like, okay,
bye. Right. So up next, what we have is an interview with Nancy Ava Miller, who's also known as the Johnny Appleseed of BDSM, and that's coming up next.
The Fetish Show feature presentation.
Today we have dominatrix, sex educator, respected S&M group leader, and author Nancy Ava Miller. Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Thanks. Great.
Hi.
To be here in Oklahoma.
Thank you for being here. I'm so glad to meet you.
Oh, likewise, Zoe.
You're so interesting. I can't wait to hear what all comes out in this interview.
We thought we were never going to get started because we were talking so long about everything.
Yes.
let me dial the clock back a little bit.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit how you got into the world of BDSM.
In 1979, I was giving a lecture at the University of Maryland, creative writing class, and there was a dominant transvestite in the audience. I did not know he was a transvestite. He was not dressed. And he fell in love with me or had a crush on me just by way of the fact that I was doing the talk. He started calling me up and he kept mentioning that he used to be a transvestite. And I thought by his obsessive concern with the topic that it was probably not past tense.
Right.
And I encouraged Bill to continue to explore that facet of himself. And I was living on a farm at that point in Cecil County, Maryland. Bill was living in D.C. And he came to the farm and he dressed for me, and his female persona was, and I guess still is, Leslie. And when Leslie came forth, she was very dominant, and she started slapping me around and telling me that, that she owned me, and I would do this and I would do that. And I just loved it. I had never been exposed to anything along those lines, and the intimacy, the passion, the spirituality of it. I knew I could never go back to being vanilla.
Right.
And we were going to get married. And then when Bill became ill at one point, he thought it would not be a good idea to get married. And I was heartbroken. So I moved to...
Because he was ill.
I think the illness provided him with an opportunity to rethink the possibility of marrying me. And he was just coming off a divorce, and he had young children. And I don't think it was like he decided not to marry me because he was ill. Like, it wouldn't be wise to get married when he was ill. I think he just had more of an opportunity to, you know, analyze what was going on. And he decided it was not for him. And I ended up moving to New Mexico, heartbroken. And when I got to New Mexico, I decided to try to replicate my relationship with Bill. So there was a little magazine in Albuquerque at the time called the Albuquerque Single Scene Magazine. And I put an ad in there for a smart, sane, aware, sane, aware, reliable, domineering man. And I also said tall and husky. Because I like big men, and I like tall men. And Bill was 6'4 and weighed about 240. Right. So he made an interesting looking female, I should say. And I ran this ad, received 36 responses, and they all claimed to be smart, sane, aware, reliable, but not domineering.
Right.
Ended up marrying a man from the ad, lovely man, Doc. And he was open-minded. He did not have the inclination towards S&M. He did try to humor me. And I'm sure people who are listening have probably been in situations where the loved one cares so deeply that he or she tries to humor the other person. And it did not, it took a while for it not to work out. But Doc just did not feel the kink on the gut, genital, emotional level. Intellectually, he understood it 100%.
So you just wanted it all in a guy. Just wanted everything. Him to feel it totally, all the way, 100%.
Well, with Doc? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was trying to get Bill back and to have that feeling again. And Doc finally said, why don't you get a boyfriend? And my cousin Jimmy was coming off a divorce, first cousin, but he's much older than I, and we didn't grow up together. I mean, I knew him, I'd met him, but we were not like brother, sister, or anything. And we fell in love, and I was trying, he lived in Mississippi, and I was trying to manipulate Jimmy into dominating me like any good little slave would do, but I thought Jimmy was trying to manipulate me into dominating him. For instance, he would say,
this is your cousin.
My first cousin.
From Mississippi.
Yes, and I was living in near Albuquerque. And again, we were doing the long distance phone thing like I did
with
Bill.
I'm sorry, I mean to keep going. That's cool. Okay.
So I would say to, I was trying to put pressure Jimmy into dominating me. I didn't really know how to go about it. I didn't have the language, for one thing. And Jimmy, I thought, was maybe trying to pressure me into dominating him, but I wasn't sure. We were sort of tap dancing around the issue. But he would say things to me like, I'm going to go visit my lesbian friend tonight and maybe she'll abuse me. And I thought, well, this doesn't sound very domineering, dominant. I didn't even know the language. And he said, he made that comment, and I started thinking he wanted me to dominate him. So I started throwing out language towards him, like my master would say to me, for instance, I own you, you'll lick my pussy when I tell you, like my master would say, you'll suck my cock when I tell you.
Right.
And sure enough, he lapped it up, pun intended, and he became my first sex slave, my pseudo slave, I call him today. And then after a while, Jimmy and I broke up. It was inevitable, probably. And he and I decided now to run an ad for a smart, sane, aware, reliable, submissive, and obedient man. And this time I ran it in the Albuquerque Journal Tribune, the main daily papers in Albuquerque.
Cool.
The Tribune is now dead. The Journal is still publishing. At the time, they shared a classified section. They had a personal section. So I ran the ad, and this time, in lieu of 36 responses, I received 170 responses, all of whom claimed to be smart, sane, aware, reliable, and submissive, and obedient.
Right.
And I met a bunch of nice people through the ad, and indirectly I met a man through the ad who gave me a book by Dr. Ginny Graham Scott called Dominant Women, Submissive Men. In hardcover, that's what it was called. In soft cover, you might know it under the title Erotic Power by Dr. Ginny Graham Scott. It was written probably
that's interesting,
30 or 35 years ago. And in the book, Dr. Scott mentions that there are support groups for perverts like us. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I must have shot up in my chair when I was reading that that term, that support group.
Yeah.
And I decided immediately I was going to start my own S&M support group, but I didn't know how to go about it. So I noted in the book that she had mentioned the Society of Janus in California and the Eulenspiegel Society in New York City, now called mostly TESS, the Eulenspiegel Society. But back then, they actually referred to it as Eulenspiegel. Today, people don't even know where the TESS comes from for the most part. And the Eulenspiegel Society was founded in 71 by Mr. Pat Bond, and Society of Janus was founded in 74 by Cynthia Slater, who's now deceased. And I called information, this was before there was an internet, 411 or 555-1212.
Now everyone gets that BDSM knowledge, just internet.
Sure.
Google it. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And they actually had a listing for Eulenspiegel.
No
in,
kidding.
In New York City.
Yeah.
And I called it, and they had a voice system telling about all their events. And I wrote them all down, and I hopped in my van. A few weeks later, I had a Toyota minivan. And I drove to New York, and I camped out near Nyack, Pomona area, upstate. Drove into the city 2 to 3 times a week whenever Eulenspiegel held a meeting. For 2.5 weeks, I attended every meeting I could go to. And based on what I learned at Eulenspiegel, went back to Albuquerque, drove back through Canada. The leaves were changing. It was autumn, the red leaves, the maple trees, and kind of planned my group. And when I got back, I ran an ad in the Albuquerque Journal Tribune for a support group for people interested in dominant submissive love, is how I worded it.
Right.
And we had our first meeting at the Gay Community Center October 16th, 1986.
Cool.
Yeah, and 26 people showed up, all men except for me, of course, and a so-called traveling lesbian.
That's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah. Now it's pretty much 50-50, it seems like, when I go to meetings.
Right.
So that was the first meeting.
So when you say support group, like, what's the difference when you have a support group or you have an organization or a club that's having events or parties or play parties? Is it just that you chose to call it support group, or were you doing something different
than what's available today?
Yeah,
it was different. It was mostly educational, and it was discussion, and we did have parties, but they were so tame compared to what goes on today. We didn't have a dungeon. I mean, every once in a while someone would bring a like a whip, or one man made a cage for us at one point when we actually had a place where we were static and we could use the venue all the time. But mostly it was just sort of improvised. People would bring paddles, or it was mostly just discussion. And we were just so happy to be together. And the following year, I went to Washington, D.C., and I started PEP. The name of my organization is PEP, People Exchanging Power. And I traveled to D.C., and I did PEP D.C., and then I did Tucson, Phoenix, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Baltimore, Denver, St. Louis, Pittsburgh.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah, tried to do Florida in Orlando, I believe, or was it Tampa, St. Pete? I can't even remember.
And these are still all in place now?
Some of them are. Like in Washington, the group known as Black Rose, that was my group. I guess
it changed the name.
It changed the name after I left, about it 6 months later.
And they call it Black Rose.
Black Rose. And then Apex in Arizona is my group.
Arizona Power Exchange.
Yes. Yes. And AEL in Albuquerque emerged. Alternative Erotic Lifestyles was from my original PEP group. And a lot of PEP groups were started by other people, like the two PEP groups we were talking about here in Oklahoma City were started by other people. And I was involved to some degree, but not very much. I mentioned Mistress K, the Red Rose. She started PEP Nashville. I was there for some of the beginning events, but it was her group.
Right.
Mr. Robert Dante in Houston started PEP Houston, and I didn't even know about it until it had been rolling for about 6 months. But it was
okay. You created like a revolutionary start.
Yeah,
your own.
I mean, seriously. It
was a different world back then, and I always thought when a lot of groups would be rolling and my job would be superfluous, I'd be happy, and that's what's happened now vis-a-vis the internet. I don't have to schlep around the country anymore and start groups because people get to chatting online, I guess, and they say, well, I'll be at Denny's at midnight tonight, and voila, there's a group of Denny's now meeting, you know, for on a weekly basis.
Right.
I can't believe the difference. I've been traveling around the country, you know, talking about my book and doing hypnosis workshops, erotic hypnosis and enema and just various topics.
Right.
And I cannot believe how great it is now with all the munches and the dungeons and the discussions and still support groups. When I say support group, it's not like AA. I mean, the people were not going.
No, I understand. I mean, I think that's important, though, to have support groups because I come across a lot of individuals here, especially that they don't have any place to go. They're cross-dressers or they're wanting to get into different parts of their sexuality, men, and dress as females, and they need support. And that is totally different than a lifestyle group. They need a support group.
Yes.
It can be devastating to them whenever you, first time you're going to dress and you have an idea in your head of what you think you're going to look like, and if it doesn't turn out anything near that, it can be devastating and hurtful. So try to help people like kind of through some of this, you know, where to buy things, what kind of to expect or whatever. So support is very important.
Yes.
So, anyway.
A lot of people have queried, like, it's a support group where people trying to stop, and we weren't trying to enhance.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I do have one client, his wife sent him to therapy. He had to go to therapy. I said, how did that work out for you? He said, not very well. I said,
yeah, probably not.
Were you
so
honest
well
with them? He's like, I said, okay. See, I don't mean to laugh. I'm not laughing. It's just impatient didn't work to get rid of that. So anyway, how did you get into the phone, talking on the phone all the time to everyone, about anything all the time?
When I was doing the support groups, people were calling all the time for advice or solace or just to find out about events that I was hosting or maybe knew about events. Maybe I knew something that they would be interested in. And, of course, I never charged anyone. And then one day, I had heard about phone sex, but I didn't have any method of doing the billing. And I was spending hours on the phone every day just talking to lonely people or desperate people or horny people, men.
Horny people.
And one day...
You never got any horny girls call you?
I had people, women would call me once in a while about the groups. It was very difficult to do advertising back then, Zoe. We didn't have
I just
the
want horny women to call me.
good luck on that.
Well, let's face it, a woman can get a wrong number and have a sexual conversation with any man who answers.
Exactly.
So they don't need to pay.
Exactly.
You're so right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let's see. So people were calling all the time about the groups, and I was advertising in the adult print media, and then I advertised too in the little alternative news weeklies. You have, what, the Oklahoma Gazette? Is that what it's called?
That's it. That's correct,
here.
Yeah.
They would not allow me to advertise your little weekly, but many of the others would.
That's no surprise.
The Washington, D.C. City paper, when I did PEP Washington, I guess we had something in Albuquerque, but it's changed its name. I think we had the City paper also in Albuquerque, but now it's called The Alibi. And they would
the alibi.
That's kind of cool.
And they would allow me to run ads, but other places I had to really fight to get ads. And like I was the first person or thing or whatever to get an ad in an adult ad in the New York Review of Books.
What did it say? What did your ad say? Just I know what it says now. It's call anytime, 24 hours a day.
Well, back then I was advertising the support group, so I often started out. I lifted the language from Eulenspiegel, which was dominant submissive love, because there were two things I always like to mention in my ads about what I was offering. One was the term love. Mm-hmm. Or intimating something about love, caring, compassion, something like along those lines. And the other was that intelligent, that we were intelligent people and we were loving people. So I would often start out the ad with dominant submissive love. And then if they would let me go more salacious in terms of the language, I would maybe say S&M, B&D, TVTS, fetish. And then I would say sincere support group meets weekly, and then I would always put a phone number, and then I would usually, this was back before, now I put a website, but back then there were no websites, and I would put Love Nancy. And I would, when I did the groups, I would recruit volunteers to handle the phone calls, and I would handle phone calls too. And that was also my father-in-law with the delegation of responsibility. Mm-hmm. That I initially tried to do everything with the support groups too. And then I realized that if I had two or three other people handling phone calls, not everyone wanted to talk to Nancy. Some people might be interested in talking to a transvestite or a guy or a couple or something like that, or another woman for that matter. So. But people were still calling me, and then I figured out a way to get payment to charge people to talk to me regarding fantasy conversation or counseling. Mm-hmm. I have a background in counseling, and I started getting payment through Western Union, and then later on, the men would call and use a credit card with Western Union, mm-hmm. and then later on, I got my own MasterCard Visa merchant account, and then I started hiring people to work for me to do paid conversation. So that's sort of a brief nutshell rendition of a little bit of my history.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That you had, number one, your father-in-law to
to
mentor you in the business area, but that you just had that much tenacity to just keep on till you figured it out.
I get tired when I think about it. All I'm running around the country doing, I'd be in my van, and I'd have to get an apartment to hold the meetings at, and I had nothing. I had no furniture. I'd have to go to Goodwill or get people to donate furniture, which they often did. I very rarely bought stuff. Right. I had a mattress in the back of the van that I would just put into the apartment.
Mystery van. It's like a hippie. What is this? What is your MED mean after following your name? And
I have a master's in education from the University of Maryland.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
And a CHT, a certified clinical hypnotherapist as well.
Wow, I don't know about this. I would like to hear more.
2002, after the terrorist attacks, I guess some of us were looking for answers or something different to kind of make the world a better place. And I was listening, I think it was to Art Bell on the radio, the flying saucer guy.
Sure, yeah, Coast to Coast.
Yes. And I think it was his show, and they had an advertisement for a hypnotherapy academy.
Hmm.
And I thought, this sounds like something I'd really like to learn. And I called up, and the place was in Santa Fe, like an hour from my house. And so I signed up myself and two of my employees to take the hypnotherapy training, later on another employee, and I learned how to be a certified clinical hypnotherapist. And now I run around the country and I do erotic hypnosis workshops, as well as other relaxation techniques. And it doesn't. I do these workshops, for instance, for writers. Mm-hmm. I call it power writing, and using hypnosis to get people to really write beautifully. And
oh, interesting.
So it's not just all sexual.
But right. I don't know if that could work for me, though.
Hypnosis works if, you know, you are the one who does the work. You know, the hypnosis kind of gives you an excuse to do better, to quit smoking, and to quit overeating or what have you, or to write
better. It's only positive, is that correct? And I only know a little bit about hypnosis, but from what I did read, it's only on the positive that your subconscious takes information or Help me out here.
They say that you cannot be hypnotized into doing something that you ordinarily would not do in real life, mm-hmm. like rob a bank or
right.
shoot somebody. So
how do you put the erotic part into the hypnosis?
Well, recently...
'Cause she's smart.
No, I mean, not how, but I mean, what exactly is the practice of erotic hypnosis?
It could be a variety of possibilities, of course. I'll give you some examples of stuff we've done. And we do it over the phone as well, by the way. Mm-hmm. Well, you can direct a person through hypnosis to have what I call a full-body orgasm.
Wow. I think we need to have you back here again. I'm hosting you back at T-Tell.
She likes the full body work.
Yeah, wow. She just woke up. What? Hey.
What? That happens? When?
And we can do that over the phone and, of course, in person. It's also good for people who are having impotence problems in terms of maybe making it easier to have a sexual life again.
Right.
A couple of the workshops that I've done where I've ended up with the so-called erotic hypnosis experience. One I remember, I did a variety of this last night and I've done it recently, but one that that really sticks in my mind, I use truth serum when the person, once they're in hypnosis, I tell them I'm going to inject them with truth serum and then they're going to have to answer my questions truthfully because they've had the truth serum.
Ah.
And of course, I don't really inject anybody, but I take a cotton ball with some sort of liquid on it, like alcohol or something with camphor is good, or sea breeze. I've been using sea breeze lately because I keep it in my fanny pack just to freshen up my face. Sure. So it's always there with the cotton balls. So I put the sea breeze on the crook of the arm where one would ordinarily inject somebody. And then the sea breeze starts cooling the skin. Mm-hmm. And so that when I quote unquote inject the person, it feels like there's something running up and down, actually running up and down the arm. And the way I inject the person is I take some tweezers with a really sharp point and I just squeeze a little bit of skin in that crook of the arm, and it feels like an injection.
Mm-hmm. So what do they tell you the truth about them?
Well, whatever questions I ask,
like
I usually ask something along the lines of, tell us about your first sexual experience or your most recent sexual experience. Tell us about something, a secret that nobody knows. Whom are you most attracted to in the room and why? it doesn't have to be a sexual. It could be they like the person because they have some connection with an intellectual phenomenon. They like the same types of books or whatever. So those are some questions I ask. And I had slave Linda one time when I gave her the truth serum, and we did a little bit of that. And then I forced her to take her pants off and masturbate in front of the room and have a so-called full body orgasm. Mm-hmm. And her mistress was there, so her mistress was hugging her and helping her. And it was really hot. You know, you have a female masturbating, a lesbian, no doubt, a lesbian, in fact.
We damn sure need to go to seminars.
I know, wow.
Forcing slave Linda to masturbate in front of a room full of not just women, but men, with her mistress there, kind of not egging her on, but what's the word, as a support, as she's playing with her wet cunt. And then she had the so-called...
I love that word.
I love that word, too. And then she had her full-body orgasm, and she was all entranced while that was going on.
Because she just had a fucking full-body orgasm.
Who wouldn't? Yeah. Last night when I did...
You were here in Oklahoma City giving
a workshop. Yeah, and a hypnosis, erotic hypnosis. And I did the truth serum. I didn't have that lady masturbate in front of the group, but I had another woman who was very accommodating. I asked her to imagine that Mick Jagger was there singing to her under under my thumb, the great S&M song.
Right.
Or any other song that she wanted to imagine, because maybe that's not her favorite song. In fact, she listened to Mick Jagger and got... She got sick of Mick Jagger after a while, she told me later on, and she started hearing Rihanna do the S&M song.
The S&M song, yeah, sure. Like we talked about that in our last episode, actually. Yeah.
And I told her that she had to move her ass in time to the music, and so she was lying there for a half an hour just moving her ass on the ground. So then I called in other people whom they said they were attracted to help out, because that's always fun. It gives them, certain people, perhaps an opportunity to play with someone whom they might ordinarily not approach. And if the other person is amenable, we bring that person in, and then they can have an experience with someone whom they may have had their eye on. Or maybe they just feel comfortable. Maybe it's their husband.
Well, at a minimum, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's some of the stuff that I've been up to lately. I don't do support groups anymore. I attend a lot of groups. I don't know if you call them support groups, dungeon parties, munches, discussion groups, lectures.
Stuff.
In Atlanta, I went to a black munch, Black Atlanta Munch. Bam. It was all black people. I was the only white person there. There was a Hispanic person, and everybody else was black. But when I did support groups, it was very difficult to get black people to attend. So it was great to see
a
group that was just...
I agree. I think that that's one sect of society that...
doesn't gravitate as much.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. Don't catch on.
I look very hard for a black model who's into, like, either a dominant or submissive, so that I can kind of visually fight that perception.
Yes.
You know, maybe expand.
There's
the,
not a lot of black
expand
doms
the diversity
out there
out. There really isn't.
No, there's not.
So.
Lady D would probably love to help you out.
Right, that'd be great.
Lady D. Yeah. There's a picture of her in the book.
Yeah, let's talk about your book.
Yes.
You have a book here. It's called Pervert Notes from the Sexual Underground.
Yes.
And I presume that you're traveling the country to promote the book.
Yeah, she's just traveling around in her van, her mystery van.
Right.
With her dogs.
Just enjoying the people. It's just wonderful. I'm looking for Lady D in here as we're talking.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, here she is.
I mean, obviously, you've had a lot that's going on. What type of things are in the book?
Well, there are 101 mostly never before published photographs. And
very cool.
Sidebars, articles by other people.
Atlanta, there she is. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And two articles, for instance, by Dr. Roy F. Baumeister, who is an expert in the perversions. He wrote the book Masochism and the Self. I want to say it again because people always think I'm saying something different. Dr. Baumeister's book is Masochism and the Self. People always think I'm saying masochism in the South. There may be masochism in the South as well, but his book does not go by that name. There are articles by a few other people, Kaylee Ward, Mistress Kaylee Ward, who founded Pep Buffalo probably 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is being recorded in 2011, so she started the group, I'm thinking 1997-ish, 98. And there's some poetry by Princess Lynn, who is a group leader in Baltimore. There's an article by Sarah Miles, who is my editor, about John Baku, who is the...
He's the guy who does FetLife.
Yes, he's the founder of FetLife.com.
We want to get an interview with that guy.
Oh, yes. I can maybe help you out.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Or Sarah can, at least. She's in touch with them a lot. Yes.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Yeah, he'd probably love to at least do it he lives up in Canada, so he might want to do it by phone.
Oh, sure.
We should go to Canada.
Or maybe we should go to Canada.
We should go to Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Can we go in your van?
I don't have the van. You want to go in the truck with Alden Mutz? Have you had Jay Weissman on yet?
No. Oh my God. I'd love to have Jay Weissman on.
I'm sure he would love to.
I believe that
he is great.
Didn't Master Walker write a book with Jay Weissman,
I believe? I wouldn't be at all surprised.
I'm not positive on that. Don't put that on Wikipedia or anything.
I won't do it.
Jay Weissman's written several books that I've read.
Yes.
And that were very instructional. He'd be great to get on here. Absolutely.
Yes, he and John Baku are wonderful to listen to.
Oh yeah.
They're both very bright and funny and yes. Sarah Miles would be a good person.
I just want naked hot
chicks.
Bring them all. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Not really.
Naked hot chicks. Full body orgasms.
Yeah. This is all good.
spread pussies.
Look at all that intellectual shit. Let's get to the
ode to the penis.
Damn it. Well, speaking of which, you have a poem here maybe you would like to share with us?
Yeah, we were talking about my infamous poem, Ode to the Penis.
Ode to the Penis by Nancy Ava Miller.
Thank you, Nerd.
And it has a male narrator, but I did write it. People claim I must be sick because I stroke my hot red dick. Stroke it once and stroke it twice because it feels so smooth, so nice. Slimy, wet, and nasty, too. There's nothing I would rather do. I tried to tell my straight-laced wife. I tried to tell, but that caused strife. In group therapy, I confess, told the gang I was obsessed. Not just with my bloated schlong, stroke it hard and stroke it long, but thinking too of pussy lips and leather skirts and ladies' tits, Paola's moon rays, nipples stiff. The thought sure gives my dick a lift. The therapist, she shook her head. I'd like to get that cunt in bed.
Yes, the cunt word.
Show her I'm a real man, whap her ass till it turns tan. Lick her toes, she'll squeal for more, make that gal my personal whore. Ram a dildo up her slit while gnawing on her swollen clit. Spread her ass crack, munch there too. Then spurt my cum into her shoe. A spike high heel so trim, so neat, I'd love to squirt upon her feet. I'd love to drink her pussy clean, then beg her to treat me mean. Dress me up in garter belts, decorate my bum with welts, blistered by her riding crop. The blows descend, though I cry, stop. I'm tied, I'm bound, can barely squirm. She tells me I'm a filthy worm. She calls my prick a useless knob, a phrase that makes it grow and throb. I'd like to grab it there, then and there, but if I could, I wouldn't dare. Besides, my hands are cupped above. I gaze at her. Could this be love? She glides a finger up my ass and wiggles it first slow, then fast. She pumps that finger out and in. She stabs my penis with a pin. She slides the finger higher still. I'm at her mercy, at her will. I move my ass. My thighs are spread. She plops her pussy on my head. I kiss, I nibble, lap, and suck. This sure beats a standard fuck. She pisses in my mouth. I spit. I sure hope she doesn't shit. She shaves my pubis with Gillette, tells me I'm her precious pet. A door creaks open there and then, and enters now a lesbian. Her muscles bulge from everywhere. Her flat top doesn't look like hair. A metal rod runs through her nose. You'd not catch her in pantyhose. Her motorcycle boots ride high. She tells me I'm a lucky guy. My cunt is wet, she says with glee, but not from pussy juice or pee. She yanks a tampon from her gash. The cotton looks like pulpy mash. Menstrual goo leaks down her thigh. I start to babble, start to cry. She puts the Tampax near my lip. She pats my penis with her whip. She wipes the tampon on my face. How rude, disgusting, downright base. And yet, I love this helpless state. I tell the dyke that I can't wait to place my mouth onto her cunt. She hisses at my dick's a runt. She cups it in her leathery hand. I swear she looks just like a man. She squeezes strong. Her nails dig in. My balls bulge out. Is this a sin? For what would God or wifey say to see me now stretched out this way? Tomorrow I may much regret that I crave pussy plump and wet. That I craved a gay gal on the rag, craved to be fingered like a fag. Tomorrow I may kiss my bride, spread her pussy glistening wide, insert my cock into her pit, give her rump a quick hard hit. She says I'm psycho, says I'm mad, I dream of sex I could have had. The therapist, the lesbian, I ponder things that might have been. I pump my wife, pump deep and long. I make her kiss my pulsing schlong. She says I'm bonkers, I'm unsound. I tell her she's too tightly wound. And yet, I love my little wife, whom I've known most all my life. I think about my dick a lot and stroke it till it's thick and hot. I stroke it once or twice a day when the little wife's away. But even though I love my pole, without my wife, I'd not be whole. Is sex a sin? Oh, who can tell? When God made sex, he made it well. They say that God is like a king. They say that God made everything. They say he made both wife and man. He must have made that lesbian. They say that God made wind and rain. Some say life is filled with pain. Filled with pain, but good things too, like kids and love and morning dew. And filled with sex, good as life gets. And God made gays and God made hets. He made whips and dildos too. He even made a high-heeled shoe. He made the earth, he made the sky. It's not for me to question why. If God made wind and God made rain, and God placed porn shops down on Maine, he also made my trembling dick. If God made that, I can't be sick.
Very good.
Oh, thank you. I can't even comment.
That's
just
awesome.
Too much.
That's awesome.
Wow. Thank you. What'd you like best about it? Did you notice some of the fantasies that we had?
Absolutely. Yeah, you covered a lot of them in there.
I left a lot out. Awesome. Yeah. I scratched out some that I didn't think worked at the end.
Very good. Yeah, that was excellent.
What'd you like best about the poem?
That you write as a man. I write some smut occasionally. It's not very good, but I write as a man. I think that's cool.
Thank you.
I wish I had a dick. If I did, I'd like fuck everyone with it.
So I think it's very graphic. I liked that about it. And very honest. Very honest.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, definitely honest.
I think you should break up the ending of it that talks about God and everything else from the other part of it. But that
could stand on its own, actually. I think so, as a poem.
Absolutely
I
could.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Makes it very interesting.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I love all the words.
There's a quote in here by Dr. de Blas, because we were talking about the support group phenomenon. If I can find it quickly, it sometimes eludes me. And it's just a quick quote. He talks about the family, you know, the S&M family. There's another quote in here that I quote to Anonymous, and I just say it's an old S&M maxim, which is leather is thicker than blood. Oh, okay, I'm getting the signal here, people. If I can find the quote, it's a great quote. Oh, here it is. None of us is an island. Instead, each of us is a knot in a leather net that extends far into the past and, we hope and expect, far into the future. From each knot, many strands run out, touching others in many diverse ways. That's Dr. de Blas. I'm saying here he's the editor of...
I like your writing better.
Oh, thank you. The editor of Dungeon Master, but I think he was editor of Drummer. And he was an editor of a big gay men's S&M magazine maybe 20 years ago. And very bright. He had a PhD. In an unrelated field. I mean, wasn't like sex or psychology. I think it was... Right. What was it? Biology or something. I can't really remember.
Your minor's in psychology, did you say?
My minor is in history and philosophy.
Mm.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
My undergraduate degree is in English Ed, and my graduate degree is in education, education with an emphasis in English.
I wrote down some of the words that you said that I didn't know what they meant, so I can look them up later.
what words are they? Yeah.
I don't want to say. I'm not sure.
I might not even know what they mean.
We have a definite large use and command of the English language.
Oh,
and that's
thank you.
Awesome. So,
I love hearing that. I'd really like to do a show like this called The Grammar Guru. It's a little bit, you know, it's not exactly sexual, but
right.
Yeah. I think that people are always, I think, interested in language.
I am. Absolutely. I'm interested in knowing what the hell some of these words mean because I don't know. I need a dictionary.
What do you have coming up? What's next for you? Where are you headed next?
I'm going to Dallas Tuesday. There's a munch I want to go to.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to the titty bar after this.
And then I'm going to, the Houston Spring Inequity, I think it's called. They're going to announce the winner of the book award. My book has been nominated for a National Leather Association nonfiction book award.
Wow. Right. That's so like the 15th and 16th or something.
Yes, and I'll
doing
be
now?
At that in Houston. And then I'm going to go to San Antonio for San Antonio Crossing, and then up to Chicago for the Enema Festival. And then I'm my editor.
The Enema Festival.
A festival of fucking enemas.
How about that?
Wow. That's so cool,
I guess. And then there's something else in Chicago that my wonderful editor, Sarah Miles, has set me up.
And in Dallas, you're going to a Munch?
Just a Munch. I don't even know where it is at this point. I'll find
Mr.
out tomorrow.
Jeeps, probably, something like that.
Oh, maybe. Does it happen on Tuesdays?
I don't know.
I'm not appearing. I mean, I'm appearing, but I'm just going to go as an attendee as opposed to a presenter or whatever.
Well, there's lots of really cool people down there to run
yes.
into. So.
Yes.
Wow.
There used to be a pep group in Dallas and run by Mistress Ruth, who died.
Oh.
Yeah. This is going back about 15 years or so, maybe even more. Lone Star Pep. And it was started by a man by the name of Neil, who quickly turned it over to Mistress Ruth. And then after several years of leading this wonderful group, she died at a young age of complications due to flu.
Wow. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You remember everyone's name. That's very impressive.
And how they died.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of people that you mentioned, and you've never waited to talk about them or anything.
Oh.
So, I mean, obviously they've made a great impression on you.
She's like one of our founding four mother fathers.
Well, they call you, on your website, they call you the Johnny Appleseed of S&M.
What the hell does that mean exactly?
Zoe is not exactly the queen of pop culture references.
Wait a minute.
And that's even old pop culture references.
What?
You remember Johnny Apps?
Yes,
someone else called me that. I didn't make that up.
Right.
Actually, it was Pat Bond, I think, who started it. And then
right.
I've heard it repeated often.
But it's true, though. I mean, you went from city
yes.
to city and created all this stuff. I mean, you really expanded the network long before the internet was
yes.
out there.
Well, yeah. I think what I found very, very amazing about you is that you chase after knowledge that you want. You drive there, you go there, you camp out,
yeah.
you seek after it, and that's something that I totally admire.
Thank you. I was obsessed.
Awesome.
I was horny. I was lonely. I was desperate, just like the people I was trying to help.
Sure.
I'm like that too, and I want to know something. I'm so, desire so much to know. I will go anywhere. And just to learn, what it is I'm seeking.
We ought to get a big RV and go around together.
Yes, and some guns and some hot chicks that are naked. I'm just kidding.
It's
my job.
And some penises.
Yes. Maybe. Yes, we should. I don't know how to drive one of those, though.
Nor do I. That's where the penises.
That's okay.
That's where the penises come in, ones with the penises.
I'm sure that there'd be submissives lined up around the block to drive that RV.
Well, I don't trust them.
Okay. Well. So anyway, if someone's interested in buying your book, and they should be, where should they go to find that?
My website for the book is nancyava.com, nancyava.com. And also they can call 24 hours a day, my free S&M inquiry love line, and someone can help you there. That number, 505-255-9255. 505-255-9255. 55.
Because you got to say it twice, you see.
In case people don't catch it, I'll say it again. 505-255-9255.
We were joking about that. You always have to say the number two times.
When you call me, I have that on my phone, my voice messages. Please say the number. But not everyone listens to the message, because I also say push number one to avoid the message. So they don't necessarily leave me a number. I love it when people call and say, please call me back, and they don't leave a number.
Right, you got nothing.
Yeah, that's frustrating, because I really want to call people back. The number that I just quoted rings into my office on weekdays during business hours, and at night,
nice.
Madam Cynthia takes the calls. If you, for whatever reason, if you get a voice message, you shouldn't, but if Cynthia is taking another call, or all my lines at the office are filled up, you will get a voice message. Just leave a message with your phone number. Say your phone number twice.
Right.
And we will get back to you. Now, my main website is peplove.com. You remember my company is, my business is People Exchanging Power, or PEP, P-E-P-L-O-V-E is the website. peplove.com is my main website. All my websites are free, by the way.
Right.
And we do phone counseling, phone fantasy, hypnotherapy over the phone. We see people in person. And my house is always open for parties, S&M events.
Don't tell everyone.
And another event that I wanted to mention,
sure,
that is not an event that it's not my event, but it is in Albuquerque. And Sarah Miles is the founder of New Mexico FetLifers. And
we'll get an invite to bring the Fetish Show out there and cover that.
Awesome.
Yeah,
nice.
The Evolution of the Revolution, mm-hmm, every
that'd
September.
Nice.
And the way to track down Sarah Miles, well, her number is 505-301-2363.
You know her number too?
Well, she works with me.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
so
do you know mine?
Not yet. I'll memorize that. Sarah's number for Evo Revo, Evolution of the Revolution. And she also hosts events every couple times a month in Albuquerque. You can call Sarah directly at 505-301-2363. Or she's on FetLife, which I don't know how to navigate, but everyone else seems to know. And you could just catch her under Sarah Miles. She spells her name a little odd, however. It's not their usual spelling of Sarah. It's S-E-R-A Miles, M-I-L-L, excuse me, M-I-L-E-S. So I'm sure you can track her down. She's a lovely person, lovely person.
And we've got all this information.
Yes.
And we will also put this on our own website.
Oh, great.
We'll have when we post the actual episode that we're listening to right now, on the website, we'll have all of these links to
and
all
of
your information.
And we can
absolutely
link to you as well.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fantastic.
What are you reading there?
I was trying to see when your book was published. 2009?
It was copyrighted in 2009. It was published in February of 2010 is when it actually
Who's your publisher?
Wow. Ex Libris. I self-published and I made my own Pep Love Press.
Oh, right.
So, but it's actually Ex Libris.
Right.
Yeah. That's David Walker cool. had talked to me about publishing it, but he has a little publishing venture going.
Oh.
Master. And he wrote a book, I guess. He wrote...
On Fireplay.
Yeah. I was going to go, oh, my God. I said that and I can't remember. Yeah. Yes, of course, I remembered that. Master Walker is on Fireplay.
So I know. He's going to listen. He's going to get on to you again.
Oh,
you're
my
gonna
God.
Go to the,
he's like
you're going to go to the principal's office.
It's like being in trouble with the principals.
Yes, for those who may not know David Walker, he is a wonderful, wonderful man. He leads the mentorship programs around the country. And
he is awesome.
Yes, yes, he is.
We talked to him on our episode out of Dallas, and we've talked to several people who were in the mentor program since then.
I met some the other night at the Oklahoma group here.
We just keep running into him.
But I can't go through the program.
I know, because you're a pro dom.
I met Miss Bondage. Miss Bondage.
Oh,
she said she was
to meet her.
Oh, she's lovely.
She kind of does a lot to keep the information flowing.
I got
noticed.
That impression.
So I mean, whatever else she does, I know that I'm thankful for that.
Yes,
because she does send out messages here and there, and this is happening, that's happening. And
yeah, I've met so many wonderful people on this trip, and she was one of them. And you know, Rory, I'm thinking of Master Cecil in Orlando has a professional dungeon that is like the hub of the S&M community in Orlando.
Right.
Lord Mercury in Memphis. I could go on and on. I mean, there's just so many wonderful people out there.
Maybe we do need to get an RV and just like travel.
For real,
like,
yeah, no kidding. That's awesome. Well, thank you very much for being on the Fetish Show.
Oh, my pleasure.
This was a great interview.
Oh, I appreciate hearing that.
We definitely want to keep in touch with you. And if you can hook us up with some of these other people, we want to talk to them too. Absolutely.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that. They'll be thrilled. I mean, even if for whatever reason it doesn't work out, they'll be just thrilled that you were interested.
Oh, well, cool. Yeah. And I hope that our paths cross again real soon.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Awesome.
Let's go to her house.
Yes.
I know. That's what I'm talking about.
I have an indoor swimming pool. Do you like to swim?
Oh, that's it.
Sure.
I'm there.
Yeah.
He swims naked, though.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
as long
God.
As you don't come in the water. You can do that, too.
Ah, that's okay.
Yeah, you don't want to swim unless you can come in the water.
Right.
There is a jet that, you know, spews out on, you know, the water that if you put your pussy or your dick up to it, it feels pretty damn good.
Interesting. Interesting.
Oh, my God. Let's go find out in person.
Maybe I'll be writing a poem about that.
Ode to the pussy.
That's right. Well, anyway, thank you very much for interviewing me.
Oh,
so I appreciate
love,
it.
I love
you
being
very
here.
Much. You're awesome.
Thank you.
So that was our interview with Nancy Ava Miller.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What the hell at that point? Shit. Rocked, man.
That's cool.
I like every cool word in it.
Yeah. It definitely covered the gamut.
Yes, it did.
No doubt about that.
She's a very interesting lady.
Absolutely. I mean, she's got connections with everyone. Did you notice how she rattled off the names of, like, all of these different leaders and all of the communities all over the place? And
yes, I did.
She's very sharp.
Oh, totally. She's got a couple degrees, and her IQ is obviously pretty high. I know that I wrote down a few words during the interview, and I asked her later in my office, I'm like, could you please
tell me? Really do that?
Oh, hell yeah. If someone says a word and I don't know what it means, I ask for two reasons. One is because I don't like to pretend like I don't know what, I know what that means when I don't. Right. And two, you know, see if they know what the fuck it means.
Right, well, right.
No, I knew she would, but anyway. Yeah, she not only knew the words, she knew like several instances of the words, the
sure.
root, where it comes from in Latin. No, I'm just kidding. She was really cool. I enjoyed my time with her, and I am definitely going to go out and visit her. I'm going to take her up on the offer. She might be sorry she made it.
I think that's all. Oh, I don't think she'll be. I don't think she'll be sorry, and I don't think that her guests or her party will be sorry either.
Wow, and party. what the hell is going to happen there? Are you going to come? Are you going to come with
me? If I can, I'll be there. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to tell a little story. I knew that I was in a BDSM maybe back as young as, say, 13 or something. Probably put a word and I identified it. Mm-hmm. This was in the days, for those of you who are millennials, when we did not have this thing we call the internets. So you couldn't just, dial up the internet and, go out there and find people to mess around with.
Okay, Derek, get to the point. Old school shit here.
So anyway, I would go into these adult bookstores and would get, like magazines and stuff, because that was your only connection to, the community. And it's not like I did anything with them, but I was fascinated by them. Anyway, my point is that she had ads in these things from way back in, I mean, maybe as early as 1990. She was like the first BDSM or fetish icon that I can remember. Mm-hmm. And she put a kind of a smiling face on BDSM for me. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to tell that story.
Well, that's really cool. I know you were really excited. I didn't know who she was prior to me seeing her, that she was going to come here. And I started getting interested into mm-hmm. who she was or whatever by reading profile.
Zoe set this up and knew, in general who she was. But then she told me, and I'm like, the Nancy Ava Miller, are you kidding me? You got an interview with her? That's crazy.
Well, she,
so that was just, it was a great surprise for me, and it was a real pleasure to meet her.
Well, one thing I totally connected and adore her for is that she shares information, mm-hmm. and you could talk to her about anything, and
she's very open.
That's how I am as well. I help
very true.
People accept themselves. There isn't mm-hmm. if there's something you can't tell me, you're fucked up, okay?
Yeah.
Because you can tell me anything.
Yeah.
So, and she's, I think, pretty much the same way.
She has made a career out of educating, mm-hmm. informing, and connecting people.
Yes,
and
I think, I see that.
And I think that that's a great way to have a career. And I hope that when I look back at my own career, that, maybe I can apply the same things to myself.
Well, what comes around goes around, and I definitely have had people be stingy with information in the past, and I think that she's definitely a blessed individual.
You got to get that information out, because there is way too much bad information that's out there that we got to fight against. So yeah, if you're being stingy with that information, then you're not doing the community any favors, believe me.
At all.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Beautiful lady, beautiful soul. Glad I got to meet her. Her three dogs. She's got three dogs.
She does have three dogs.
One is blind and deaf. That was a little Cocker Spaniel dog.
I like dogs.
They like you too.
I know. All animals like me. if you're interested in if you're interested in learning more about Nancy Ava Miller, you can go to her website, www.nancyava.com, and amazinghypnotica.com, nancyavamiller.com, and finally peplove.com.
And buy her book. We got a couple copies of her book and
got those signed.
We did.
How cool is that?
That is. And she was here doing a class, her hypnotherapy class at the local place here.
Right.
So I think she's open to...
And she had great things to say about the local community, too, I might add.
Yeah, we have to say that publicly, but we won't tell you what she really said. No, I'm just kidding. She really
did. She really had a glowing review of everyone involved, everyone that she met and of the local dungeon and stuff. So that's really cool.
Well, I think that she's open to people hosting her to come and give, you know, her workshop, whatever.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So anyway,
All right, glad
we did it.
I am too. That was a highlight for me. It's pretty cool.
Well, she does like Chinese food, so I think next time I take her to dinner, I better find her some Chinese food.
Yeah, no kidding. Not sure exactly where I'd take her, but
me either. But it's not Joe's Crab Shack. That's where I ended up taking her to.
Joe's Crab Shack. Yeah, that's not really.
They didn't have
right.
any Chinese food there.
They didn't at Joe's Crab Shack.
No, they didn't.
That's amazing. Hard to believe, really.
It is. She had a Caesar salad, but not with Caesar dressing on it. You know, with a different kind of dressing on it, with Caesar salad on the side.
Thanks for that update, there, Zoe.
That's not Chinese food. She's probably starved.
It's so not. Hey, everyone, thanks for listening to us here. We'd like to guide you out to the website. If you're listening to us through iTunes, please drop by thefetishshow.com. We'll have all the links that we mentioned in this podcast. Also, I'd like to invite you to go visit theprincesszoe.com. You can find out more information about Princess Zoe. And always, you can go to dirkhooper.com, and I have a blog on there. And please check out our Twitter accounts again. That's at theprincesszoe. And at Dirk Hooper, DirkHooper. We also have, finally, a toll-free hotline. That is 1-888-506-0221. We want to hear your voice.
We have some good stuff coming up. Keep listening.
We got awesome stuff coming up.
Yes,
so,
we do.
So hang on. It's coming, baby.
Wow. I'm hanging.
So thanks for listening to The Fetish Show for Princess Zoe. This is Dirk Hooper. Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.